Introduction. Congratulations. You've decided to become an expat. And no matter where you fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum, you're incredibly brave. Leaving your home and heading out into the unknown is never easy, and maybe you feel anything but brave at this point. Maybe you feel isolated and unhappy in your new home. Or maybe you feel confused, and now you're second-guessing your decision. Are you asking yourself, what in the world was I thinking? Don't worry, you're not going crazy. Even the world's most famous explorers like Columbus, Marco Polo, and Magellan probably questioned their sanity at some point along the voyage. And no matter where in the world you're reading this little book, one thing's for certain. Living abroad is a life-changing experience, and it can challenge even the most extroverted of extroverts, let alone the introverted travelers. That's where this book comes in. Introverted Expat 101, How to Be, Live, and Thrive as an Introverted Expat will help you make the most of your expat lifestyle, no matter how introverted you are. You might think your introversion is always going to put a damper on your expat experience, or that your inner nature is going to keep you locked away in a tiny flat while the rest of the world dances in the streets. If that's the case, this book is for you. Because contrary to what you might believe about your introvertedness, it's actually what will make you an excellent expat in the end. You just need to understand yourself and learn how to tap into your introverted superpowers. Chapter 1. An Introduction to Introversion and Why It Can Make You an Excellent Expat. 1/3 to 1/2 of the world's population is introverted. But even with such a large demographic, introverts remain largely misunderstood. Over the last several years, introversion has become a trendy topic. But along with the accurate information available, there are also many misconceptions surrounding introverts too. To set the record straight, we need to clear the slate, and the first thing we need to do is understand what introversion is not. What introverts are not. Introverts are not shy, timid, reticent, depressed, aloof, unhappy, boring, rude, antisocial, unsocial, special, smarter, better, or more creative than anyone else. Some of these words can be used to describe a personality or an emotional state. Some of these words can even describe someone else's perception of you. But none of those terms have much to do with introversion itself. And while it's true that introverts can have these qualities, it's not because they're introverts. What is introversion really about? Introversion is neither a personality type nor an emotional state. Imagine a spectrum, and on one end there's introversion, and on the opposite end there's extroversion. Everyone falls somewhere along this spectrum, and according to Carl Jung, no one is exclusively introverted or extroverted. We all have both, but one of the two is usually more dominant in each person. It goes without saying that introverts are the people who are further down the introverted spectrum. But what does introversion or extroversion mean exactly? Introversion or extroversion identify how certain individuals become stimulated and energized. Introverts feel stimulated and energized by solitude, while extroverts look to social stimulation to get their engines going. But why is that? To understand this key difference between introverts and extroverts, let's take a look at the brain, specifically the neocortex. Neo means new, and cortex could be understood as the roof of the brain. This is an area of the brain which allows us to think before we act. A super important evolutionary development, right? The neocortex requires activation and arousal to work properly, and if it's overstimulated, it's harder for you to think clearly before you act. So, too much stimulation means you'll have a dysfunctional neocortex. The same is true if you're understimulated. Now, at this point, you're probably starting to connect the dots. Extroverts must have too much stimulation, and introverts don't have enough stimulation. But the exact opposite is actually true. Introverts have too much stimulation within themselves, and in order to help their neocortex function properly, they require lower amounts of outside stimulation. Their inner world is already pretty loud and crowded. Extroverts, on the other hand, tend to not have enough neocortex arousal, and that's why they seek outside stimulation in the form of social activities. Too often we judge introverts by their outward appearance and think they're checked out and disengaged. What we fail to realize is that they may be more engaged than the rest of us. The reason behind an introvert's preference for quiet and solitude is not because they're bored or rude. It's simply because their neocortex is buzzing, and being alone helps them lower their level of arousal. Understanding stimulation when it comes to introverts. It's easy to oversimplify introverts and think that they just don't like a lot of social interaction, but stimulation isn't just about social engagement. Stimulation includes all five senses. So, things like lightning, smells, and noise can sometimes be too stimulating for introverts. The seven essential features of introverts. You now know what introversion isn't, and you also know that introverts seek solitude, not because they hate people and are antisocial, but because being alone is exactly what their brain needs to function optimally. Now let's discuss the seven essential features of an introverted person. At first, they might not seem very advantageous for expats, but once you look a little closer, you'll see that these characteristics are incredibly useful for introverted travelers. Introverts are creative people. Creativity might not be the first thing that comes to mind when you try to describe an introvert. Maybe that's because we have stereotypical ideas of dramatic and famous artists and creatives. Yet the research of two psychologists, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi and Gregory Feist, indicates that in many fields, the people who are the most creative are in fact the introverts. Is it because introverts are naturally more creative or talented? Not necessarily. The strong streak of creativity within introverts can probably be attributed to their comfort and ease within solitude, a key ingredient for any creative undertaking. You're a creative expat. Once you leave your home country, you're not going to have all the usual comforts that familiarity brings. You have to start from scratch and find friends, jobs, apartments, and new favorite spots too. And just to make things fun, you'll have to overcome a language barrier as well. But cheer up for the challenge. You're in good company. Other creative introverts include Guy Kawasaki, Lady Gaga, Marilyn Monroe, Jimi Hendrix, and J.K. Rowling. Introverts are divergent thinkers. If an introvert could choose between a philosophical discussion and small talk, they're going to opt for philosophy over precipitation levels. Why is that? Introverts love to spend time grappling with ideas and concepts. This love for profound thinking, combined with their knack for creativity, leads to divergent thinking. That means introverts can come up with unique solutions. You're a divergent thinking expat. Seeing that you've already done what most people haven't and left home to explore a new country, you're already writing your own rules and figuring it out as you go. This won't stop once you land, and you'll figure out ways to make this new international life work for you. You'll figure out life hacks when it comes to traveling, eating, communicating, and so much more. You're in good company. Other divergent thinking introverts include Albert Einstein, Bill Gates, Steve Wozniak, and Larry Page. Introverts are powerful observers. Introverts might be the quiet ones in the crowd, but that doesn't mean they're not picking up on the many details that fill the room. Their observational skills help them pick up on social cues, social norms, body language, facial expression, vocal tones, and intonation. For an introvert, people watching is more entertaining than entertaining others. You're an observant expat. As an introvert, you've always been good at observing your surroundings, but this skill will be incredibly useful when you start living abroad. You'll have an easier time integrating if you can observe cultural nuances and differences. No one expects introverts to stop being themselves simply because they're in a new country, but being observant can help you be respectful of and adapt to new norms. You're in good company. Other observant introverts include Warren Buffett, Isaac Newton, and W.B. Yeats. Introverts are sensitive to their surroundings and to other people. Because introverts are such powerful observers, they notice details in their surroundings and in the behavior of those around them. This can make them more attuned with other people. Nonetheless, it's the one-on-one interactions that they thrive in. It isn't that introverts have greater capacity for compassion or empathy, because let's face it, not all introverts are saints and angels. But in general, an introvert's sensitivity to what's happening around them makes them more aware of the underdog. They can support those who are suffering because they've noticed them in the first place. Sensitivity can help you as an introverted expat. In your old stomping grounds, you knew your favorite spots and probably had well-established friendships. Now that you're out of that comfort zone, being sensitive to your surroundings is going to help you identify areas that you thrive in. You'll also be able to find people to befriend. You're in good company. Other sensitive introverts include Mother Teresa, Friedrich Chopin, Dr. Seuss, and Audrey Hepburn. Introverts are strong and overcome challenges. Since most of the United States and part of the westernized world value extroverted qualities, and since one-third to one-half of the population is introverted, it's already a challenge for introverts to thrive in social environments. But apart from the challenge of being an introvert in an extroverted world, introverts use their skills of observation, creativity, sensitivity, and divergent thinking to overcome all the other obstacles they face throughout their daily life. You're a strong expat. You might like solitude, but that doesn't mean you escape or hide from the unavoidable challenges of living abroad, having to deal with immigration processes, or learning a new language, or simply living without your favorite foods can be hard for anyone, introvert or extrovert. Your natural, introverted qualities will help you brave the storm. You're in good company. Other strong introverts include Barack Obama, Abraham Lincoln, and Rosa Parks. Introverts can form strong connections. Everyone needs human connection, but because social interactions can be overstimulating for introverts, they tend to be more selective in who they choose to socialize with. So, introverts might not have dozens and dozens of friends, but they might have a handful of close confidants who they share meaningful moments with. Remember, introverts value the exploration of ideas and concepts, and friendships that allow for this are invaluable for introverts. You're a connected expat. Maybe you already know people in your new home country, or maybe you're having to start from zero. If the latter is true for you, it could be difficult to make friendships depending on the social norms of the new country. And since you might not be interested and/or very good at small talk, it might be hard to network and branch out. But when you believe that you can find exactly the right people to interact with, you will find them. Remember, you're already very observant, creative, and divergent, so you can apply these skills to find the perfect people to spend time with. You're in good company. Other connected introverts include Mark Zuckerberg, Hillary Clinton, and Laura Bush. Introverts tap into the power of solitude and quiet. In a world that's becoming increasingly distracted and busy, there's one group of people who are unlikely to get swept away, the introverts. Not only do they prefer solitude and quiet, but they actually need it to thrive. It is in their solitude that they can come to terms with difficult problems or concepts. It's in those quiet, seemingly unproductive moments that introverts are the most original. And introverts can stand as a wonderful example of how to unplug and step away from the whirlwind of the busy world and enjoy being turned off for a while. You're a quiet expat. One thing's for certain, when you live in a foreign country and don't have many connections, or at least not as many connections as you had back home, being alone may be relatively easy for you. You can probably go to a cafe and stay a while, unrecognized by the clientele and staff. You can probably meander through your town without having to socialize very much. In short, being an expat means you'll have lots of opportunities to be alone, which is your preferred and natural habitat anyways. You're in good company. Other quiet introverts include Mahatma Gandhi, Moses, and Buddha. Being an introvert means that you have a great capacity to be a creative and divergent thinker, as well as observant and sensitive. What's more, you are totally capable of overcoming challenges, forming strong connections, and tapping into the power of solitude and quiet. You get to take all of these traits with you wherever you go. By doing so, you will take advantage of your introverted qualities and thrive as an expat. Don't lock yourself into your identity as an introvert. We've just spent some time discussing the 7 essential features of an introvert and why these characteristics can be so helpful to you as an expat. But before we close this chapter, it's important to remember that although you can identify as an introvert, try not to limit your identity to being an introvert. That can hold you back from growing and thriving in another country. You see, even if you identify as an introvert, you are not only introverted. Everyone falls somewhere along the introverted-extroverted spectrum, and we all have both introversion and extroversion inside of us. Sometimes, depending on the situation, you act in an extroverted way. Perhaps your professional responsibilities require this from time to time. Sometimes the passions of introverts override their introverted nature and allow them to share their passions. Think of great politicians like Barack Obama, or businessmen like Warren Buffett, or internationally acclaimed artists like Steven Spielberg. These people have had to engage in the public eye, and they've done it very well, even though they're all introverts, and you can do the same. As an introverted expat, you might need to interact in loud, buzzing gatherings, which are not your preferred stomping ground, in order to socialize in your new country. You can do that, and even act extrovertedly. But don't worry. When it's all said and done, you can go back home and return to what feels more natural to you. Is your new country introverted or extroverted? Now, stereotypes are not helpful, but sometimes it's possible to identify cultural norms that identify a country as more introverted or extroverted. Depending on which country you're headed to, you might have an easier time being your introverted self. If you're an American introvert, you already know how difficult it can be to be yourself in your home country. Peppy, chatty customer service is a must, and overt friendliness and small talk is normal. This may be the case for you if you come from another country, too. Before you head off to your new home country, try to do some research to identify if the overall culture suits introverts or extroverts, or both. For example, introverts may feel more at home in a country like Germany or Japan, rather than Italy or Brazil. If you're already planning to move to an introvert-friendly country, you're in luck. If you're headed to boisterous, gregarious places, make a concerted effort to support your needs for solitude and quiet, to prevent burnout and breakdowns. Chapter 2. What to do before you leave. In Chapter 1, we focused on you and how awesome you are as an introvert. Being an introvert is something to be proud of rather than ashamed of. So, even if you have some doubts about being an introverted expat, or even if your family and friends aren't so sure you have it in you, you know you can do this. Introverted expat packing list. You may prefer to read more about concepts and ideas, but now it's time to get practical and talk about your packing list. And since introverts like to plan, this should be fun too. Taking time to pack seemingly inconsequential items can make all the difference when it comes to supporting your introverted needs during the initial transition to your new home country. Let's look at some of them below. Home decor and accessories. Since you don't mind staying home, consider taking something with you that will help you make your new home feel personal and inviting. What you bring will differ for everyone, but some suggestions include candles, blanket, framed photo of loved ones, decor, playlists. Literature. If you're moving to a foreign country that speaks a different language, having literature in your mother tongue will be something truly special. It's true that you can always hop online and read an article in your native language, but there's nothing like having literature with you. Bring some of the following. Read or new books, favorite magazine, journal, printed emails from friends, or handwritten letters. When you're thousands of miles away from your loved ones, these little keepsakes are a wonderful way to be alone without feeling lonely. Food favorites. Chances are you're not going to have access to the same treats you're used to, so pack some to hold you over. You can also see if online retailers can ship them to you. It's true, you might love what's available in your new home country, but keeping something consistent and comforting from home can be a wonderful way to support your love for routine and consistency. Here are some food favorites to take with you. Tea, coffee, chocolate, hot chocolate mix, snacks. Introverted expat to-do list. Another great way to prepare for your big move is to spend some time reflecting on how you feel here at home. Even if you're home, that doesn't mean everything's easy breezy. For example, there are people and/or situations that drain you. It might seem strange, but a great way to prepare for the unknown is to get very familiar with what's already known. Identify your triggers. You're naturally inclined to reflect and contemplate, so use this to your advantage. Just make sure that your reflections don't turn into ruminations and worries. Use your ability to reflect and contemplate to create positive change and improvements in your expat experience. You can start with a proactive plan. Grab a pen and paper and start to identify your stressors and triggers right here at home. They might look something like this. Social gatherings that last too long, loud gatherings without a place to recharge like bathrooms, foyer, gardens, street, walkway, etc. Not being able to go home when you need to. Not being able to see the exit. Group projects and/or assignments. Not having enough time to formulate and articulate thorough responses. Having to commit to anything without doing research or planning for it. Who you are is the same wherever you go, so if these or any other triggers stress you out at home, chances are they'll stress you out in your new country too. The only problem is the stress will probably seem a bit more intense because of the foreignness and newness of your surroundings. Foreign stress triggers are stimulation compounded by even more stimulation, which isn't exactly an introvert's cup of tea. Even though your expat country is new and unknown, you don't have to wait until you get there to figure out when you're going to get stressed out, overstimulated, and overwhelmed. Try to think ahead to settings, scenarios, and situations where your triggers might go off. Here are some typical areas that can be difficult for an introverted expat to face. Become familiar with social norms and cultural expectations. When you first move to the new country, everything might seem like a blur, and even very exciting. Once the dust settles, though, you might start to feel the strain of being an introvert in a new social setting. That's because you'll start to notice the cultural norms, i.e. what is normal and acceptable, to those people. And you might find that what's normal and acceptable behavior in your new country is not only new and different to you, but it also throws your introverted nature for a loop. Of course, that's not to say that the new city or country is inherently anti-introverted. It's just that being in a new place involves a lot of inevitable challenges for an introvert, and sometimes cultural differences don't really mesh well with an introverted soul. Personal space. Some cultures leave more room for personal space. Other cultures might not really know what personal space means. It's not that these latter groups of people are rude or inconsiderate. It's just that they don't see anything wrong with bumping into you, in more ways than one. Volume of speech. Some cultures express themselves very loudly. Others seem to gauge the volume of their voices based on the crowd and their surroundings. For introverts, it can be challenging being surrounded by the first type of culture, especially when you're expected to chime in the way they do. Organization and punctuality. If you value organization and timeliness, that doesn't necessarily mean your new home country does too. Or there's a good chance that these concepts are all a bit relative. It's easy to get frustrated and take things personally or lose faith, but only if you think people are late to be disrespectful and inconsiderate. Once you stop expecting cultures to change for you, and once you realize that people's tardiness has nothing to do with you, it becomes a lot easier. Out in public. You might think that going to the post office or grocery shopping can't be much different in your new home country, but depending on the cultural norms and social expectations of your new city, even mundane tasks like this can take a little while getting used to. Stores and shopping centers. Americans place a lot of value on top-notch customer service. In other countries, you'll be lucky if you find an employee to help you. Conversely, shopping in certain stores can feel like you have a personal attendant and your wish is their command. As an introvert, you might enjoy being left alone rather than being followed around everywhere. It's also important to know when the shops open or close and how you should interact with the clerks working. The best way to do this is to observe how everyone else interacts with each other, and since you're naturally observant, this is easy for you to do. Public offices. Depending on your country, certain public offices run like a Swiss watch, efficient and reliable. Others can be messy, disorganized, behind schedule, and inefficient. Spending time in any of them can be draining for an introvert, so always give yourself time to recharge after visiting public places like this. Navigate language barriers. Even if you're perfectly comfortable with public speaking, stage fright is still a very real experience for introverts and extroverts alike. If you think about it, speaking a foreign language is a huge public speaking feat, and it can be an anxiety-ridden experience for some introverts. Speaking a foreign language, especially if you're still in the learning stages, can be intimidating and scary. As an introvert, you like to take time to say things correctly and thoughtfully. And this sort of precision and perfection is something you may have to let go of in order to overcome language barriers. To help yourself out, prepare go-to phrases that you can use when you're out running errands, having dinner, or just meandering the streets. For example, learn how to say, "I don't speak," insert language, "very well, but," or "I'm still learning," insert language, "could you repeat that slowly?" These sorts of phrases don't just help you, they also help the native speakers understand that you're not a native speaker and that they might have to adjust the conversation to accommodate your fluency level. Another great tip when it comes to language challenges is to study key words associated with the places you're going to. A restaurant? Learn how to ask for your order, the bill, the bathroom, etc. The same goes for the post office, purchasing bus tickets, and other activities. Try to learn basic vocabulary, and don't be afraid to write it down on an index card or in your iPhone. A little preparation goes a very long way. Even with all of the challenges that come with having to learn a foreign language, you have one huge advantage as an introvert. You love to learn, and you have the ability to focus and study, and these skills will serve you very well. The idea of spending long hours pored over books and practicing exercises seems fun to you. However, it is also important to be very realistic when learning a foreign language. It isn't always fun. Sure, studying quietly by yourself is an introvert's paradise, but that's not how real language acquisition works. It requires immersion and engaging with native speakers. This can be a struggle for introverts for two reasons. Firstly, it's easy to feel overwhelmed when it's time to speak out and hear yourself making mistake after mistake. There's no easy way out of this discomfort except to simply face it and know that with every blunder, you're that much closer to fluency. Secondly, learning any new language can be tricky because it means you need to spend lots of time talking with people, and this can be very draining. Not only because of the social aspect, but because you're not yet able to hold the deep and meaningful conversations that you love so much. In fact, it might take a while before you can engage in intimate, profound conversations, so these sorts of conversations will be tiring and taxing because, one, you're talking so much, and two, the conversation isn't very interesting. One way to combat this is to take private language lessons or find language exchange partners. This way, you can dive deeper into concepts and ideas a little more easily. This is fabulous for language learning because you'll feel more motivated to talk. If you know you're only going to talk about the weather, that's not very inspiring. But if you have a language partner who shares your interest in any given topic, you'll want to build your vocabulary so that you can both probe deeper into the subject. Learning how to communicate. You might think that we've already covered the topic of communication because we just discussed language and how to overcome the challenges of learning and immersing yourself in a foreign language as an introvert. But communication isn't just about speaking in the same language as other people. Sure, that's the starting point, but there's so much more involved with communication than just language. It might be difficult to learn about communication norms of your new country before you get there. But if you have a chance to speak with or to observe native speakers before you leave, take advantage of this opportunity. People of other countries communicate based on what's accepted and familiar behavior in their culture, just like you do. So, try to approach communication with an open mind. Try not to interpret communication tactics only through your cultural lens. What you see or what you assume may be a far cry from what others see. And, if you only observe people based on what's accepted and familiar in your native country, you could easily misunderstand, misperceive, misinterpret, and even negatively judge what you're seeing. In short, try not to be critical and be curious instead. For example, some cultures express themselves in very black and white terms. Others are more flexible. What you might interpret as blunt or rude might just be the norm. Consider Italians for a moment. They can be very expressive and open, and if you're not careful, you can misinterpret their conversational style as being arrogant or pushy. But when you look closely, you'll notice that no one feels slighted or insulted. To them,